Good morning. I'm peachy fine.
Well, there you go. There's February for you in two words. There you go.
Sue, isn't it wonderful that there's nothing, no big issues in education going on right now?
I don't even know where to start with you two this morning. iStep starts next week. Let's start there. Keith and I discussed it last hour, but not everybody listens wire to wire every morning. Where are we on the testing that's going to start next week? And what have we determined here for the kids?
Well,
it's all about the kids, right?
And we are testing. We still have some changes in the testing that occurred. But as I've talked, especially to principals, and Keith knows this from our administration, the thing that everyone is trying to do is get through this the best they can by helping teachers stay pretty calm and therefore kids pretty calm.
Sue, talk about the letter that the superintendent wrote to the governor of Indiana.
The superintendent wrote a wonderful letter stating why this iStep test should be invalidated, that this isn't a reliable test. The test was written too soon for new standards. It was including some items for next year's test, and then some things were removed. And in our school corporation, we're using two different parts of the test. So one school's taking one test, one school's taking another test. And it was a very powerful letter, and she did not mince words that the results of this test should not be used for school grading, for student grading, to evaluate teachers. And so she was urging him, even though we're going to do the test, to throw out the results and not use it for any kind of measurement, because this test is really invalid, is what she was saying.
I thought it was a powerful letter, and the essence of it, as you've already pointed out, is we're not fighting you doing the iStep test this year. Just don't use the results for any purpose, because they're so invalid in what you want to make use of. The other part that has been the biggest thing, the teachers know about it, the administrators know about it, the principals know about it, is to try to remain calm. So that it doesn't affect the kids, because what they don't want to do is put additional stress on the kids.
Exactly, and we hear from parents all the time whose children get pretty stressed out by high-stakes testing because, you know, they're afraid of what a score might mean. And, you know, and I can't even imagine what it feels like to be an elementary school kid and feel that you have this pressure on you for this test. And when you're that stressed out, it's really difficult to test. So, you know, we've had issues back and forth the last few years with the iStep, but it is so jumbled and it is so confused right now. There are parents who want to opt out, which legally you can't do in Indiana, but there are still parents who want to keep their kids away from school and not take the test because they object to it so much, but they need to know that when we have kids miss that test, it counts against us, which means as much as we hate the scoring...
That ain't the way to protest, is it?
No, it isn't. It's going to affect the school grade. If indeed it is used for teacher evaluations, it's going to affect that. So when we score below 95% present and taking it, it drops us by a grade. And honestly and truly, we're not happy with it. The people to argue with are the people in Indianapolis that I keep urging people to contact and lobby and push and push and push to see what's happening with this testing.
I saw an interesting sign among the people that have shown up, and those who can teach, those who can't legislate.
Right, exactly. And actually, that was one of my Facebook little avatars for a long time. It really is too bad that people are making some decisions without really looking at what these tests are and without talking to our educators who do this every single day.
That's what frustrates me, Sue. Well, we got professionals in every
rank. Well, let me take this back a step, because there's a reason we have these standardized testings. Well, this all stems from not having Common Core, true or false.
Right, but we had the standardized testing before Common Core, and Common Core has its own standardized test.
So theirs is better? Theirs is less stress? Theirs is easier measured?
Well, it might be, Mike, but the problem with the iStep this year is it went from being a 6-hour test to a 12-hour test. And then at the last minute, the governor steps in and says, oh, no, let's reduce it, even though the understanding from our State Board of Education was that the federal government would not let us change it because we had to have something that would satisfy them because we weren't in Common Core. So you're right. It's linked to Common Core.
Well, but why did this all happen at the last minute? If you knew this was coming down the pike, why is the governor doing stuff 2 weeks before this happens? Why not 2 months? Why not?
In essence, the announcement of the length of the test didn't come until January.
That's my point. Why did that take so long?
Well, that's a good question.
You are right, Mike, and that's exactly it. Why weren't we doing this last September? Why weren't we doing this over the summer? Why are we using a testing company that we know we've had problems with in the past? Why do we continue to pay them this huge multimillion-dollar contract? Those are wonderful questions, and those are the kinds of questions we don't get answers for. So it is really frustrating, and I understand people's frustration. Although I don't have a kid in school, so I don't feel it, I sure do understand what people are feeling because we're not liking it either.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Kleiner are our guests this morning. They both serve on the MCCSE school boards. Keith serves as president. You had a meeting on Tuesday, Sue. What did we learn?
Well, one of the things we talked about was class size ratio, and this is so important for folks to understand because the school board has to approve the ratios. And a lot of people misunderstand what the ratio is, and what that talks about is how many students per teacher we will have in our classrooms. Rather than saying ratio, we could say average. And so if the ratio is 1 to 30, that means that's an average of the number of teachers to students. So that determines how many teachers will be in a building, and then the principal determines how to allocate those teachers. So we might have a class that can handle more students, like maybe a music class, so that might have 35, and then a class that needs a little bit more individualized attention, therefore might be 25. So it's not a cap. It is simply a ratio to determine how many staff have to be in each building.
And the other part that comes into play on that is that that's based on our best guesses, and we've had situations where the enrollment in a particular class is not as high as was predicted, or
right,
where you get an influx of students, and now you've got to add somebody.
Right, and this recommendation actually comes from each building principal, along with a committee of teachers who look at every grade. They look at what might be their, like you said, Keith, their best projection for next year, and then they give the recommendation to us, and then it's up to us to approve it. So we're we haven't increased the class size ratio. We are better than what we were before the referendum when we had to riff so many teachers, and we've gotten back to a pretty good place in terms of our class size ratios, and we've been able to lower it for the elementary school and keep it at about 1 to 30 for our middle and high schools.
Also doesn't deal with interventionists and classroom aides and
right,
preventionists and all of the other things that sometimes some of the classes have.
Got a lot of ists, yes, over there.
That's right.
It can be a staffing headache because when you get into September and all of a sudden one school has fewer students than you thought and another school has more students than you thought, we also have a provision for adding teachers. This is through our Teachers Association. For if we really do have an overflow in one area, we can add teachers if there's a need there.
Sue, another thing that happened in the school board was Tammy Miller, who's our director of elementary education, gave a great presentation on preschool and what's going on in the MCCSC.
Right, and we really value that so much. Even though the state of Indiana, the governor turned down an offer to offer preschool education in all of our schools, we're doing it here with some of our grant money and with some grant money from the Community Foundation. And she gave us
Who's eligible for that?
If it's in a Title I school, it really depends because we have special ed preschool, we have Title I preschools, and we have pay preschools. So it really depends on where you fall in that category. But it's open to everyone. We only have right now 20 students per preschool, but what she told us was that at-risk, we're really looking especially at at-risk kids who don't get the kind of support at home, and she said that at-risk kids who don't receive high-quality early childhood education are 25% more likely to drop out, 50% more likely to be placed in a special ed class, 60% more likely to never attend college, and 70% more likely to be arrested for a violent crime. And we know, nobody can deny this, that early childhood education pays off more than anything else. So the money we invest there is money we're going to save later on, because children develop the skills that they need to be successful later on, and we don't have to do as much remediation.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning, talking education issues as we do always on Thursday mornings between 8 and 8:30. Keith, what else is happening?
Sue, it's not too early for us to remind people that graduations are going to be different this year at the two high schools. And that there are limited numbers of seats available. But
not really, but there are.
Well, where the actual ceremony is taking place,
yes.
We will televise to other parts of the school. But, you know, if you...
Air conditioning, color TV, put your feet up. We've got room.
Pay attention to the fact that when it comes time to get your tickets, that you take advantage of that.
Right.
And that's a really good point. And that is because Assembly Hall is going through some reconstruction, and we can't use Assembly Hall for commencement. So after our principals looked at every possibility for a venue to handle as many people as we have, they decided to actually hold this in the high schools. And as Keith said, there's going to be some overflow accommodations so that people can actually watch the ceremony there. And we will have tickets. So kids will get multiple tickets, but they have to do that ahead of time, and they will be limited to the tickets that they get.
But the good news is everybody will be in the building, just maybe
right.
Not in the same.
Exactly. And
venue.
Thanks for framing it that way, Mike. We will all be together.
And both graduations are the same day, different times, but they'll be at each respective high school.
Right. So, and I know each high school is going to make this really special. We can make it just as special no matter where it is. Some people might not like Assembly Hall because they think it's big and cavernous. So we're going to make it really nice and personal at our high schools.
Sue, great job as always. We appreciate it. Keep warm out there. School board meeting that we just had last week, we have those monthly, right? So
right.
We
yes.
don't have to worry about that till the final Tuesday in March.
Right.
And will
right.
that be different because the spring break stuck in the middle, or shouldn't affect it? Should it? Because it's past that. So that
yeah,
should be,
I don't think it'll affect
we
it.
We should be right on schedule for
we
all
We will
that.
Have a work session on March 10th.
Okay. Do you have any community conversations or anything coming up that we need to be? I know with spring break in the middle of the month, it kind of gets quiet.
Right. No, we haven't planned any community conversations, but boy, I've heard people say that we need to talk about testing as a community conversation, and we sure could, as long as people understand that the testing isn't something that we created or that
you
we
can
required.
Fix. That's the other. Yeah. That's the other issue. We can all get together and complain all the time.
Just a, right. a not a
give
correction
us a calendar.
Per
give
se.
Us, give us a calendar.
There are five Tuesdays in March,
yes.
So that's the fourth Tuesday, uh-huh. and that means that the
well,
next
that
school board meeting is the 24th of March.
Okay, not the 31st,
after spring
the final
break,
day.
Right.
Gotcha. All right, Sue, good job. Stay warm, and we'll get caught up with you next week.
Okay, thanks for letting me be on.